Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the story straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. Steve Azar here for you today, and excited about my guest as always, but really excited about my guest today because she is my partner on the golf course, at charity events. She is the one. But before I get there, visitmississippi.org allows me the opportunity to catch up with my old friends. Also, you need to catch up with your old friends or take some friends, find some friends, just travel Mississippi. Be proud of this hallowed ground that has changed the world and the world of music. The world and the world of music. Go figure that. Well, my guest is a real pal and has made her mark in life hitting that little white ball on the golf course, a really incredible LPGA star. Still is knocking it out of the park every time we get a chance to play. She carries me like a baby. I am the C player on her A team, and there's no B players. Back in 21, in the U.S. Senior Women's Open, she was making a run to win it all. Annika Sorsten gotten in the way.
Sorenstam, yeah. Sorenstam. You know, she's really been a thorn in my side in U.S. Open.
I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But she was in everybody's side. That thorn,
yeah,
was,
that's true.
That thorn ran deep like big long needles.
Nicest girl,
but you almost you were in the hunt to win it, and you're not even supposed to be talking yet.
Sorry.
She loves to talk about this thing, brain balance. Yes, I said that. Something that she has experienced and seen these results that are off the charts. And her book that is one of the most special books ever written by an LPGA star, for sure, and about so many. Mr. Hogan, The Man I Knew. You can find out more about that if you go to Amazon or wherever you buy books. And we'll dig into
it.
ChrisCheddar.com. I need to spell that. K-R-I-S-T-S-C-H. What did I just say? T-S-C-H-E-T-T-E-R. Chris, T-S-C-H-E-T-T-E-R. I'm looking at it and I'm leaving the S out. And I know her name, by the way. .com. And the book is phenomenal. Mr. Hogan, The Man I Knew. Let's get to it right now and talk the Masters for a second with my pal, Chris Cheddar.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me back on.
I know how to spell your name, by the way. I'm reading it, but I need my glasses.
It's not easy.
I can't see the S at all right now, and it's this big on my screen. All right. First of all, how are you feeling?
I'm good, other than I have a stress fracture in my foot right now. So I'm on the injured reserve.
How'd you do that?
You know, I didn't really do anything to it, which I guess is how stress fractures happen, but I was playing in a tournament in Bermuda. And so I kept playing, and then I got to the point where I couldn't play anymore. And so I made it worse, and yada, 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 I'm in a boot.
You're in a boot right now?
Yeah.
Well, we have this annual grudge match, maybe a couple times a year, two out of three.
Believe me, I'm pointing towards it. I'm trying to get ready. I'm going to get physical therapy. That's what I'm pointing towards right now.
This is Chris's boyfriend, who played in the CBA, a professional basketball player, played college days at Holy Cross, and my dear friend, Dr. Andrew Abide. They play, Chris and I, and they have very short memory, especially Andrew, if you're listening. They've won one time. Right? One series, maybe?
I think like nine holes, one time, maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't even count. Anyway, but they always complain, and they always forget that we beat them. So Chris in a boot, and me that plays once every month, and they play every day. It's really amazing that we still can take them.
Yeah.
They should just quit. All right, Chris, I want to talk about the Masters real quick, and I want to talk to you about Rory McIlroy. It takes him his whole lifetime to break the ice of finally winning not just the Masters, but the Grand Slam.
Right.
And then he wins it again this year. I want to ask you, first of all, you get in this position. What's going on in a golfer's mind to change and make history? What do you think took him so long? And then how do you feel like it was pretty easy for me to watch him repeat? You know, and I know it wasn't easy for him.
There's this little thing called pressure.
Yeah.
That I think affects golfers probably more than any other sport. I mean, I just don't see other sports where pressure is, it becomes such a big thing. But if you look at all the sports, the times where people really, where it gets to them is when it's non-reactive, you know, the free throw or the serve and tennis, like that's where you seem to see pressure get people. Mm-hmm. And golf is that 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And it wears on you, you know, 4 days of just every, you know, golf is long, 5 hour rounds, 4 days. It really wears on you.
You know, with all of the stuff that he had on this week, he was doing the women's amateur. He was there. He was there for drive, chip and putt with the kids. He was there. His dad and mom came. He played golf with his dad. I mean, and he had to do the champions dinner. There had to be 1,000 things he had to do. Did you expect him with all of that to, and he hadn't played in 3 weeks to compete, did you expect him to win? Did you feel like that he had a shot?
Well, he was there practicing, which was huge. And you know, that's why it's so hard. I mean, what did they say? Only 4 people have ever done it.
Yeah.
It's always hard to defend. You know, yeah. The eyes are on you from the very beginning. And
could he be rested so much in his mind now and complete, so to speak, that it made it,
I mean,
doable?
That part of it was definitely easier. I think he even was quoted as saying, I have to keep reminding myself I've won this now. So, you know, like take that pressure's off.
Yeah. It's like money in the bank, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I it's crazy to me. All right. I want to talk to you about a caddy. So during a period of my time, I consider my caddy my bus driver because they had to drive us safely. I woke up sometimes thrown against the wall in back of my room because we had to slam the brakes on to not fly off or wherever. So yeah. Bus drivers, you know, there were a lot of them that, you know, they smoke cigarettes and drink Mountain Dew, or they got some sort of fetishes up there. Can I use the word, whatever the heck, crazy habits to keep them up at night while we're all still asleep. I finally got to have probably a good amount of years in my life. I had a driver on salary, and that driver was hand chosen, and he was incredible. I never woke up plastered against the wall or anything. You know, like what just happened?
That's definitely worth the cost.
Yes, yes, but you have to be able to afford it and really be on a run at this point. So, as a caddy, as an LPGA star, did you always have your caddy, or was there a period in your career where you had your caddy, or what was it like? Because I know that it's expensive to keep them on board.
Yeah. I pretty much always had a regular caddy. My dad would come out and caddy for me some of the time. So when I would have, and that was hard because I would have a regular caddy and then say, oh, and by the way, my dad's going to caddy these 5 tournaments every year.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, they knew which weeks I was going to have my dad out caddying or my husband out caddying, and they would then find another bag, you know, another player that was in between caddies or such. And it, you know, it kind of worked. It worked out well for me. I enjoyed having a regular caddy I could count on, and I enjoyed having, you know, my dad or my husband come out and caddy as well.
Right.
The most important thing for me was having a caddy that just always stayed positive, never would give up. You know, someone who was a good cheerleader.
Yeah.
Like you. That's why we're, you know, so great together. You're a great partner. You always stay positive, and I really appreciate that. There's some players that don't want that. You know, that annoys them. I mean, to me, it's like, that's my number one thing.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to stay positive.
They were talking about, I say they, you know, who are they? So much criticism on, is it Harry Diamond? Is Harry's his name? The Rory's caddy. Oh. There's his best friend.
Yeah.
And they say he's a really good player. And for a long time, they were criticizing him like he needs to get a new caddy. I love how they come aboard to say, who is the one that is that he's to blame. Rory always knew he was the right guy on the bag. He seems positive and quiet, says things he sort of needs to say. It looks like he talks to Rory when he needs to. He gives him these smiles every once in a while, just kind of watching him. Rory is so comfortable, and I imagine what you're saying is, we got to take a break for a second, that comfort and that reassurance of knowing who's by your side is almost the most important thing you can have, especially in pressure situations.
Let's take a quick break. Hold that thought. Yes, I have thoughts on that.
Okay. All right. Holding that thought. Chris Cheddar. You can go to Chris, KRISTSCHETTR.com and get the book, Mr. Hogan. She'll sign it and autograph to you guys personally. The man I knew, and that man made a huge difference in her life. Enough to have to write a book about it, because she had to get that out of her, because he meant so much to her and her career. Visit Mississippi.org means a whole lot to my career. We are the birthplace of America's music. We'll be right back. But I do believe we're in cold water, and I shall believe.
Super Talk Mississippi.
Called America. On precious stone, dangling off heaven's shoulder. Wide-eyed.
Steve Azar here. We are one Mississippi. I love being able to say that. And it's actually down. State song. Who would have thought? I'm so grateful, grateful, grateful. I'm grateful for you all tuning in. Super Talk, my team. And visit Mississippi.org into my ninth year for allowing me to chat away with old friends right there in front of you. Go to visit Mississippi.org. Chris, we were talking about caddies, the importance. We're talking about Rory, his caddy. What were you going to elaborate on?
Well, I was just going to say, being with someone that you're comfortable, that you really love and have respect for, that's huge. I don't want someone walking beside me that is just, it's just business. You know, I want them to, you know, be one of my best friends.
Is that all you're going to say? That's it?
Yeah. I think that's super important. And I think Rory knew that.
Yeah. I love it. I was reading something right now about Charlie Meacham. Back in the days, you were working at a fitness van tournament when your commissioner at the time asked you outside for a few minutes to chat. You weren't worried as a professional golfer. Never caught up in any controversy. What was going on with this?
Apparently my shorts were too short and flouncy.
That's right. See, I'm reading it right now. What is that? What's that last word you used?
Flouncy.
Was he English? Was he British? What was that word?
No, English. That was the word that was used in the letters that he got sent. But the funny part of that was he pulled me outside. He said, hey, I want you to know about this and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, gosh, really? I go, does that mean I have to stop wearing them? He goes, oh, God, no, I love them. I just thought you might want to know about it.
Now, that could affect your day. Are you thinking about walking down the fairway every time you drop the club in a slot and you see your shorts? I mean, did that bother you?
They were kind of a style of short. They were shorts, but they kind of looked like a skirt before
Skorts.
We were all wearing skirts.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So, and they weren't really that short. I mean, compared to what they're wearing these days.
Yeah,
nothing.
I'm surprised they're not wearing like what they wear when they play beach volleyball now out there. I mean, it's getting to be close. You know, I love that about you. But, you know, when you got the legs, you got to show them. What are you talking about? And you wanted to get a good tan. What kind of tan did you want? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
That's really interesting because I'd never read that before. And I saw that online when I was just searching some things.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, because we have a lot of conversations and we can carry this on without me looking anything up. But I cracked up when I saw that. The best advice you've received ever, and I would maybe think that it was from Hogan in your professional career, and maybe it wasn't. Like, and maybe at a time you needed it.
Boy, that's hard. I mean, my dad, as much as I always hated to admit it, he gave me a lot of great advice. So one story that comes to mind is he was the one, my dad, who wanted me to have a pre-shot routine. And I was like, no, I don't, you know, I hit the ball when I'm ready. And he goes, well, ask Mr. Hogan, ask him if he has one. So I did. And Mr. Hogan's like, no, you hit the ball when you're ready. And and so I couldn't wait to tell my dad this. But as I sat there and watched him, he had a pre-shot routine that he didn't know about. He did the exact same thing every time.
Oh, wow.
He just didn't know it.
Yeah.
And so ultimately I ended up, you know, getting a really good solid pre-shot routine. And that is something that is really great to be able to fall back on. You know, you think about like when Sergio couldn't take the club back and he takes too many looks and stuff, like to be able to just like take your one or two looks and go, that helps a lot.
What happens when golfers sort of get stuck like that? I saw an LPGA player recently. It was online on X. It was over, right? I kept thinking, is that AI? Because I don't know, because she wouldn't pull the trigger. And I was going like, oh, my God, this can't be real. Are they looping it? I mean, if that really happened, what happens to a player?
You know, it's kind of a form of the yips almost, where you have trouble pulling the trigger. And again, that's why having a routine where it's just like, set up, look, go, you know, and you do it every time, then you can fall back on that. Makes it a lot easier in a sport where it's not reactionary.
You know, Ludberg, the new, he's really playing really well, this guy on the PGA Tour, and he's got this beautiful swing. But what bothers me, you can tell, is probably never nervous because he does, but the way he lines everything up, he moves the club, and he backs the club up behind, and you know, to closer to him to the ball. Then he sets and goes.
Yeah.
And I feel like that probably helps him with that stress of not being stressful. But what worries me is I feel like it sort of throws him a little bit. So far in every tournament, you feel like he's got a chance of winning. I feel like it's too quick. That I wonder if, but it's what he does.
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
If he becomes uncomfortable, like that's when you just back off and start over.
Yeah.
And he's obviously ingrained this, whatever it is. And
I don't know. I just feel like it comes to bite you a little bit because you probably needed to be focused even a little bit more, but he doesn't do it. He does the same when he's putting. Everything he does is he plays
it's
fast.
The same.
You know, I don't ever, Jim Gallagher Jr. and was the fastest player that I ever saw or played with ever. When we were goofing off or when I watched him on TV, that man played fast. Him and Jesper Parnevik were known for it. They said they played, Jim said, in a round. They were the first ones to tee off one day. And they like almost lapped everybody. They were done.
I bet. You know?
Yeah. I feel like that there needs to be a sort of a time limit. Like it can get crazy, right? Especially for you have a good pace to me. Did you play with some girls sometimes, some women in the days that they were so slow it drove you mad?
Yeah. Yeah. It drives me mad when people aren't, you know, ready to hit when it's their turn, that's when they start discussing what club they're going to hit or what the wind's doing. It's like,
you could have done that.
All that out before you started.
Right. The pre-shot routine doesn't start until, oh, it's my turn, instead of you got all this time to be doing
the
that.
The pre-shot routine should be like 5 seconds.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly right. All right. Sacrifices in your life. You've made a lot of them. You and I both, you know, I didn't really know my children, and I use that loosely, but I really didn't know them. I was gone so much, 250 days a year, you're gone, and when you're home, you're in the studio or you're writing and all this, and by the time they get to a certain age and they want to get to know you before they don't want to know you, you know, by the way, everybody listening, you know what ages I'm talking about.
You're to the age where they like you again. And they
Right, but back then there was a period where they actually wanted to be with me, and I wasn't saying things politically incorrect, and oh, Dad, you can't say that, and you can't do that, and you can't breathe either. You're not allowed to breathe, and you're wrong, and you're wrong, and I can't, it was a tough deal. I was a little sad, you know, when we were gone. You know, when you play on stage, it fixes everything, but you're not, and you play on the, when you're playing a round of golf and you're competing, it fixes everything, but there's all this other time around it where you have time to think about, I miss them, you know?
I made the conscious effort to not have a nanny with me out on tour, which I'm sure hurt my golf game. But I knew that if I did, I would be like, I'm going to rest. You take my kids and do whatever. And so I did make a conscious effort not to do that. We had a great daycare out on tour, so I was able to have my kids and travel with me. So I was able to spend a lot of time with my kids. But as far as sacrifices go, you know, I didn't go to a lot of friends' weddings. You know, I think about, like, I didn't go to Vince Gill and Amy Grant's wedding.
Yeah, and they all hate you for it. Not Vince and Amy.
But
I have friends that have not forgiven me.
They're really good friends, and I would have loved to have been. Yeah. I didn't go to high school reunions. I didn't, you know, there were a lot of things like that that I didn't do because I wanted to play in a tournament,
yeah,
and that was the most important thing.
But it was your job, and it was where you were heading in the rest of your life. I had to do the same thing. I have less regret because I didn't have to get dressed up like that. But anyway, we'll talk about that as well on the other side of the break. Let's take a quick break. ChrisCheddar.com, ChrisCheetter, not cheddar like cheese, although, you know, she'll go with it. Go to it, check out her book. It's phenomenal. And she'll autograph it personal to you. The life, you know, Hogan and her, this time they had together, the time they spent together was so special it had to be documented. Visit Mississippi.org, birthplace of America's music. We'll be right back.
$20,000 available for first-time home buyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time home buyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first served. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
From the Seabrook.com.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
When I was 16, I knew everything. Having a great time with my pal, Chris Cheddar. Go to ChrisCheddar.com and check out the book that she wrote about the inspiration from Hogan. I mean, come on, Ben Hogan. That is one of the greatest names in golf for a lot of reasons. ChrisCheddar.com is ChrisCheetter.com. Visit Mississippi.org. We got a lot of love lately about our culinary chefs around Mississippi. Michelin finally made a way down south. It's funny that Michelin stars haven't been awarded to southern restaurants until lately. And you're going like, are you kidding me? I mean, why would you not come south? The food's phenomenal. And we got a lot of wonderful places that got mentioned. We hadn't gotten the star yet, but it's going to happen. And there's some phenomenal restaurants, phenomenal chefs. So eat your way around Mississippi and you will be very happy. But just make sure you exercise afterwards. You got to keep it going. Got to stay in shape. All right. Chris Cheddar is my guest today. Chris, the mental fatigue, just the grind. How often did you go week after week? What was your sort of limit before you knew you had to take a break from golf? What did that break look like that week or two? What was sort of your schedule in your mind after you really started to figure out you could only go so much and you had to rest that noggin of yours?
So I liked to play more. I was typically not great my first week out. Like the second, third, fourth week were a little more productive for me. So, you know, I would go four or five tournaments in a row before I would take a week off. And I, you know, my clue was if I wasn't nervous and excited on the first tee, that was a sign that it was time to, I needed a week off. And so,
Wow.
you know, I would just kind of get home and I love to cook and, you know, I'd spend 3 or 4 days just away from the golf course. And then it would be kind of back like, okay, now I got to play this week and get ready for next week.
You would really put the clubs up for 4 days.
Yeah.
And then you love to cook. Were you like, Food Network became pretty popular for us in the 90s. Did that ever sort of go, oh, I can't wait to get back and plan some recipes and get into all of that?
Yeah, it was more like I like to cook just my stuff without, I wasn't like I was experimenting a whole bunch. I just, because I'd been gone for 5 weeks, I was ready to eat my favorite dishes again.
Yeah.
And so I just come home and make those.
My mom has had a week's worth of go-tos that repeated itself 52 times a year. And she doesn't want to hear that, but that's what I'm telling you right now. That's why my palate wasn't so extensive until I got out on the road. And then, of course, Gwen always tells me, I swear, you drive me, you always have to rearrange the menu. You always have to change it. She talks to me about a recipe. You know, we like to cook a big time.
Yeah.
And I'll go, why can't you substitute jalapenos for bell peppers? I don't like bell peppers. I like jalapenos or serranos. She goes, but that's not big enough to stuff. Put stuff in it. And I said, well, you just do more. You know,
Well,
it's
that's right.
okay. But these are our arguments because she goes, you just won't do the recipe like it is. And I'm going like, why do the recipe like it is? Why don't we make it a little bit of ourselves? These are our, you know, this is what we go through.
Well, you know what they say, cooking is an art and baking is a science. So
And that's the truth.
cooking is meant to be, you know,
Yeah.
put your own spin on things.
Yes. I'm going to tell her that you said that when we get
Okay,
back in there.
sorry, Gwen.
No, I love it. Sorry, Gwen. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Okay. If you weren't a, I've never asked you this, and you've never asked me this because we met each other doing what we have,
What we
doing
do.
our whole lives, right? And what we do. I could have never imagined a plan B. My mind was focused on plan A. And,
Yeah.
but I got to tell you, there were plenty of times that plan A didn't look good. And until it started to look good. And for me, I look back and go, where were those crossroads that I came upon that I almost turned around and quit? And they were there, but somehow I
Yeah.
got through it. And then there was this big ray of hope sitting there in front of you, like just right there. Like, and so I always figure, man, there's a place in everybody's life when they give up on this passion and their dream or whatever it is there, you know, their work that they want to do because they can't quite take one more step forward. And
Yeah.
it's just waiting there for you, or at least something that gives you an opportunity to continue. So for you, was there ever a plan B?
I didn't really have a plan B. Like I knew I was gonna try to qualify, get on the tour, and unfortunately I did. And I thought I would do it for like 5 years and then I would start my real life. I had no idea what my real life would be. Like there was no plan B. But I loved it, and that was, you know, I loved it. My dog is walking around in circles
I
now.
know, I know. I see. So sweet.
I loved it so much that by the time, you know, I had kind of was getting down to the end of my career, I was thankful that I had kids so that because I would have really missed being out on tour. But the kids were of the age where I needed to be home with them and it felt good to be home with them. I'm fortunate I still have Legends tournaments to play in. But then it was like, now what am I going to do? Because I like to keep busy. I like to fill my days with things. And I'm really, really fortunate that I found Cirrus-Set Brain Balancing.
I
Because
didn't
it's
say that correctly in the intro. Cirrus-Set brain
Cir
bouncing.
it's yeah, it's called Cirrus-Set, Cirrus-Set.
I'm not spelling that again. I don't know how to spell that. I can't do it. But anyway, keep going. So tell me about that.
So it's I'm able to be a healer, which I
You have your
love being able
storefront.
to
You got
help
a brick and
people.
mortar, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. You come to my office. I put sensors on your head. We read what's going on in your brain. And what we've done, it's a franchise model. So not me, but they have applied musical tones to all these different frequencies we read. We play it back to you in real time, and your brain recognizes those tones as itself and tries to kind of rebalance and reset. So what we see all the time is people coming in highly stressed, so stressed that they never get out of their stress response. They are constantly in fight or flight, or worse, in freeze. So they never get back to rest and digest. And if you don't get out of your stress response, your brain is constantly working to try to do that, and it doesn't have time to do all the other things. So people, if they come in, if they're on a blood pressure medication or a thyroid medication, we tell them, know what it looks like to be taking too much, because once your brain isn't dealing with all this stress, it might kick in and start dealing with all this other stuff it's supposed to, like your blood pressure and your thyroid.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you know, a lot of times people have to lower medications.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And people come in, you know, dealing with mood stuff, depression, anxiety. When that goes away, like if their brain is stuck in fight or flight, they're dealing with all this anxiety. That goes away, they're like, you know, whoa, this is what normal feels like. I've never felt like this, or at least not for a long time.
So this is, you got this, you learned this from Amy Grant, correct?
She had been doing Cirocet for a long time. She'd been telling me about it, and I finally was like, okay, I'm going to try it. And I really did it for my golf game.
Yeah.
But it ended up being life-changing. It did help my golf game, but more importantly, I was dealing with kind of PTSD from a really rough divorce. I wasn't sleeping. I was having to take medication to sleep. I was dealing with anxiety, and all of that went away. I haven't taken sleep medication since 2019.
You're sleeping good?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't slept good since 2019, so I can tell you that. Let's take a quick break. Chris Cheddar's my guest, KRISTSCHETTER.com. Check out the book, The Inspiration from Ben Hogan. The book is insane. She'll autograph it to you. One of the best golf books in history, I can tell you that. And she's one of the best women I've ever met, friend, buddy, partner I've met in my life. She is that close to me. I love her so much. Chris, I can't thank you enough. You have one small segment left. Visit Mississippi.org. Check it out. We are plan a trip. We are the birthplace of America's music. I was going to say that because I never get tired of saying that. Plan a road trip around the blues tours. You're going to end up in Liverpool. I'll be right back.
I saw the light. Sun came up in the middle of the night. Been doing it wrong for so long. I show I don't know.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
Hello, I'm
from across the state with the Super Talk Mississippi app.
The Super Talk Mississippi app.
Download the Super Talk app on your iPhone or Android device now for free. Just search Super Talk Mississippi in your app store on your mobile device to get everything Mississippi all in one place. The Super Talk Mississippi app. Get it now.
Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
I said blues tour. What I meant was the blues trail markers. We have the country trail markers, which I'm so grateful to be a part of that. We are blues trail markers. We have the freedom trail markers and the what else we got? The writer's trail markets. Markers, and these things are stretched all over the place, and people go visit these trail markers, and then there's always something around there that is the memory of any of us that have a marker that was very important, that spot, that sacred ground where you kind of grew up and that mattered to you in your career or in your life growing up. And there's usually some, maybe some shops around it or a old restaurant, like in my case, or that's like a piece of history, and you get to stop in and eat and visit everybody. So it helps the economic impact is what I'm told. And I totally get it. Chris Cheddar is my guest today. Chris, we're talking about this as far as anxiety and all these things. When you tee it up and you're out competing to make a living playing golf, you have to make the cut to make any money. I mean, this is like you could spend all this money in 2 days and you go home with nothing. All you got is expenses, and you can write them off.
It's bad when your caddy makes more than you do.
No, and your caddy would sometimes make more than you do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. You know, sometimes we had to pay the band and pay everybody else and the managers and agents. And I came home and go, wait, what? And why do my agents and managers sometimes make more than me in their home? I don't understand it. But the bottom line is sometimes you had to do it in the name of the game and the big picture. But in your case, that pressure on you, let's get back to that a little bit. Anxiety, maybe that maybe were you one to hold a lot of anxiety in, or did you able to every swing it out?
When I was playing on tour, I was pretty good with handling the anxiety. I think the hardest thing for me was, you know, being in the last group the last day, and if I didn't get started, you know, started well. Or like, I think my worst, the scariest thing for me was somehow ending up in the last two or three groups because, you know, I got lucky or I made a lot of putts and I'm, you know, hitting it all over the golf course. And you're kind of like, now I'm in the last group. And am I going to make those putts again today? I preferred to hit the ball well and, you know, feel more, that made me feel more comfortable.
Right. Right. It's funny. They were talking about Rory this week. He was 90th in driving accuracy, but yet I think he may have been first in putting or something. Anyway, the point was,
yeah, that helps.
It helps, right? It fixes a lot of things, but you still have to drive the ball good. He's probably barely off, you know what I mean? Sometimes, but you didn't have people talking about those stats all the time. Now, back then, were they paying attention to all of that stuff like they are now? Now it's every like how you breathe and how you like what you ate, you know, what power bar you're having. And I mean, they analyze every little thing about the player now.
And the player's analyzing it too, you know. They're looking at all that stuff, trying to figure out, you know, how to get that much better, because that much makes a difference, you know, at the highest level.
Let's get back to food real quick, because it's around lunchtime in Mississippi.
I would like to put in an order for pizzas at your house when we
I will make you a pizza. And listen, I've gotten a little better dough now. I've got a little better at it. But every once in a while you say that and then you just drop the ball. It just ends up being awful. But that keeps you coming back. Let me you're always, you know, always welcome for that. Speaking of food, comfort food, what fixed you after a bad round of golf? What was your go-to meal? And then what was your go-to meal when you celebrated playing really well?
You know, as long as it was good, I wouldn't say I had one thing that I went to, but it just something just good. I wanted to go and make sure that it was going to be good food and good wine. I like, you know, I like that combination. Good food and wine.
Lighting important. Lighting is very important.
Yeah.
You go to a restaurant at night and it's just lit up like a Christmas tree. Well, a Christmas tree. The place is really bright. No. Come on.
Find some good ambiance. You know, not where it's so loud. Like I wanted more of an intimate,
right,
where you can talk to someone.
Yeah, because it could get pretty loud even in the quietest game in the world, right?
Yeah.
With things out there.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Yeah, Chris, you're the best. Chris Cheddar, chrischeddar.com. Get the wonderful book she wrote, The Influence of Her Life, that changed her life. The Man I Knew, all about Ben Hogan, the influence he had on her life. It's all there. She'll autograph it to you. Go to KRISTSCHETTER.com. And she'll send you an autographed copy. Visit Mississippi.org. Plan a road trip, baby. I believe in this Mississippi as we are one. Mississippi, bless you.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.